Today we're going to talk a little bit about kind of a continuation. If you were here last week, I spoke on kind of this new vision, not really a new vision, but it's kind of a continuation vision of the firm roots and foundation that have been established in this church for years. But as we adventure into this new chapter at Mountain Valley Chapel with, of course, a new pastor, new people, new things, I really do think that God is going to continue to do what he's always been doing, maybe just not in a new way, but it's just like as Brother was praying this morning, in a newness, a refreshing of his spirit, a new empowering of his spirit to do what I think and feel that God is calling this church to do and be, which is to be the light of Jesus in a dark world, in a valley that desperately needs him. But not just in this valley. I mean, think about your own personal lives. There are things in our own lives, even as followers of Jesus, where the enemy still tries to come in and exploit. But because we have Christ and the Holy Spirit in us, I'm grateful that where the light is, the darkness cannot stand. The darkness cannot stay. And so last week we talked about this idea of this new calling that we get when we're a new creation in Christ. And if you remember last week, we talked about how Christ gives us a new life to live. And he gives us a new perspective to see how he sees the world. And he gives us a new calling to be his ambassadors. I was talking with Joe afterwards, and I wish he would have known my message ahead of time because he gave me a little insight. You know, the role of an ambassador is to represent the kingdom or the nation you are from. And as followers of Jesus, our job is to represent God's kingdom here in this foreign land, a land that doesn't know him, that rejects him. And Joe reminded me that another role of an ambassador is not only to just represent the kingdom that you're from or the nation you're from, but it's also to establish yourself and establish the rules and the principles and the things of that nation in that foreign land. And that's what we are to do as followers of Christ. We are to establish his rule in his kingdom here in this foreign land. And he uses us. I know I've talked about this before, but how awesome is it that the creator of the universe uses flawed people like me, none of you, of course, but like me, to partner with him to do his work. I'm so grateful for that. And so, as we step into this new season, I want us all to be on level ground. We have people in this church that have maybe recently just started following Christ. And we have some seasoned saints that have been following Christ for a long time. All of us are on different spectrums when it comes to our walk and our relationship with Christ. And what I want us to do is I want us to establish us on the same ground, where we all have the same footing, where we're all starting from the same place. And isn't it interesting that Jesus himself has something to say about establishing our feet on firm ground? If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7. And this is going to kind of be our focus text over these next several weeks, actually. As we're going to be talking about laying a foundation, we're going to kind of go back to the basics, so to speak, so that we're all on the same page as we get ready to partner with Christ in this new adventure. But in Matthew chapter 7, towards the end of that chapter, many of you know this is the end of Jesus' greatest sermon he ever preached. In fact, historians say that this is the greatest sermon ever preached. And I would happen to agree with that. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And within that message, you can see that from in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7, Jesus just kind of just word vomits almost, just all the things that we can expect from him, from God, and what God expects from us as his followers in this, as we represent him on this earth, from the Beatitudes to being the light, things on relationships like marriage and between brothers and sisters in Christ and all these things. And at the end, he closes out his message in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, yet it didn't collapse because the foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash. Now, I don't know about you. I don't want my house collapsing with a great crash. And Jesus gives us the recipe, the equation on how we can build our house and establish it on the rock so that when the storms of life come, and they will come, we can stand. And if you notice in that first part of Matthew 7, 24, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't do anything about it. Is that what he says? What does he say? Acts. Jesus is letting us know that if we are going to follow him, and if we are going to establish a strong foundation in him, we must act on the things he tells us to do. I mean, isn't that what disciples do? Jesus was a rabbi and he had students, disciples. And the goal that Jesus as a rabbi was to create more hymns. That was the whole rabbinic culture. You had students who would become like their master. And Jesus even said that. He said to his disciples, one day you will be like me. You will become like the master. And that is the goal of the Christian walk, to become like Jesus. But do we become like Jesus just by sitting in an hour, hour and a half, 2 hour service on Sunday? Do we become like Jesus when we go out and outside of these walls and just continue to do life as the world says and follow along with what culture says and does? How do we become more like Christ? We have a relationship with him. We ask him to make us like him. And he empowers us with his spirit to go and actually do the things that he wants us to do. And the good news is Christ has given us work to do. If you're wondering, like, I agree with this, Nick. I think Christ wants me to do something, but I don't know what that is. The good news is he's given all of us a mission. And it's the same mission of this church. Does anyone know what that mission is? It's okay, speak up, it's okay. Make disciples. If you go on our website, mountainvalleychapel.org, okay, scroll down. We have a mission to make disciples that follow Jesus. That is our mission, to make disciples. My question is, how do we do that? How do we make disciples? Again, from what I see here, Jesus says it's going to require some work. It's going to require us getting our hands dirty. It's going to require us actually stepping out of our comfort zone and trusting in his leadership and stepping out into areas of the unknown and allowing his spirit to work in us and through us. Again, if you're curious about that mission, towards the end of Jesus' time here on earth, some 2,000 years ago, he commissioned his disciples with this mission. And as followers of Christ here some 2,000 years after this, that mission stays the same. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, Jesus says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Each and every single one of us, as we talked about last week, have a key role to play in making disciples. Making disciples within our families, within our neighborhoods and communities, our places of work, this valley, and even beyond to the world, as Christ says. We are to make disciples. We are to make disciples. But then Jesus says something interesting after we've made the disciple, which we're going to talk about, that idea of how do we actually make a disciple. Jesus says something very interesting, that once we make disciples, we are to what? Baptize them. I'm so thrilled that there are, in about a month or so, we're going to have baptisms. And I think the number's growing. I think we started with 4, now we're up to like 6 or so, 7. And I just want to encourage anyone in here that if you have not been baptized and you are a follower of Jesus, let's get wet. Let's get baptized. This is what he commands us to do. We see this in scriptures. When someone would become a believer, they would immediately get baptized. I'm thinking of the Ethiopian man as he's journeying along the road, and he says, "What's to stop me from getting baptized?" And there's just this little puddle of water, and Philip's like, "Let's get baptized." And so again, I just want to encourage you, this is just kind of a quick plug, that when you become a follower of Christ, the next step of obedience, again, we hear what Jesus says and we act on what he says, it's to get baptized. So again, this is just an encouragement. If anyone has yet to be baptized, I'd love to talk with you about that. I have that list of people that I'm going to be reaching out to here soon, and love to hear your story and talk with you more about baptism. But we are to make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we are to teach them. Disciple making, there is an aspect of teaching, learning. But can I just say that over the last 100 plus years or so, discipleship has kind of been about information. Right? If you want to become a disciple, just get more information. Right? Jesus says that we're to hear what he says and do what he says. So let me learn everything that he told me to do. But the problem is, that's kind of where we've left it. Someone gets saved and maybe they go through a new believer's class and they're learning all this information, and then you hand them a book on following Christ. Then you just say, good luck. Like, I mean, that's what the church has done. I'm not saying that's what this church has done, but I'm just saying as a whole, that's kind of the attitude in the church has had over the last 100 plus years or so. And discipleship was never about just learning information. Discipleship is about transformation. Again, we're trying to become more like Christ through the power of his Spirit. And so, yes, we are to teach new believers, but we're to teach them what? We are to teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. Now, that word observe, it kind of a weird analogy, but imagine you're back in Jesus' day and you're amongst the disciples. This is not what Jesus meant when he said observe. So when the disciples are going with Jesus and he's walking along and he sees someone sick, and so he goes over and he lays hands on them and heals them, the disciples weren't just coming over and going, oh, okay, that's what he did, okay. And then they're just watching him do all this stuff. Yes, they were watching him do this stuff, but what did the disciples actually get commissioned to go do? To do it themselves. They were commissioned 2 by 2 to go lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, proclaim the kingdom of God. So yes, there's this aspect of learning and watching their master do something, but then they must go and do it themselves. So that word observe can also be translated obey. Teach these new believers to obey all the things that I've commanded you. Teach these new believers to keep and to take guard and guard the things that I've commanded you. Casey spoke a couple weeks ago, and I love what Casey said. He brought up the same verse. And I love the idea that we are to obey the things that Christ had told us to do. But Casey, if you missed it, he said, live it out. In other words, Jesus is saying, teach these disciples to live out all that I've commanded you. And if we are to teach disciples to live it out, then we must also live it out. This is what discipleship is. This is what discipleship looks like. Again, it's not about just giving someone a book on how to be a Christian or how to be a follower. The best way to make disciples is to come alongside them and show them, model for them, teach them all the things that Jesus has commanded us to live and learn and to do. I'm reminded of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That is what discipleship is. We are imitating our King, and we are showing others how to do the same. Because the reality is disciples make disciples. Who make disciples. Who make disciples. Who make disciples. You see that all throughout Acts. It started with 12. There were more, 120 in the upper room. But it started with 12. And here we are some 2,000 years later. And I don't know the exact number, but you can probably Google it. Historians can probably tell you numbers. But we're talking billions of people have come to know Christ who are disciples, who have made disciples, who have made disciples. The disciples didn't change the world by just staying put and remembering all the good times they had with Christ. The disciples went. They went. They go. They went. And for many of them, they cost them their life. Being a follower of Jesus is going to cost us things. And we're going to talk about that in the next weeks to come. Discipleship is about teaching other disciples to observe, to obey, to live out what Christ commands us. But that also begs the question, what did Jesus command us to observe and to teach his disciples? The gospel? I mean, if you think about it, we probably could start at page one and go all the way to the end, and we could make a list of all the things that we see God doing, God commanding us to do, Christ doing, Christ modeling. We could come up with a list of thousands of things probably. I don't know about you, that's a lot. And I don't have that good of memory. I think that's why God gave them 10, right? 10 commandments. You know, when God was up on the mountain and he gave his people laws to obey, there were 10. But man decides, oh, that's not enough. 10's easy. Let's just keep adding to it. And I think it turned out to be some 613 laws that the religious elite were requiring people to live by when God really only gave 10. Now, I'm not trying to be all spiritual and keep 10, but in my mind, I think 10 is doable. Now, again, this isn't about doing stuff to earn salvation. Please hear what I'm about to say. Our focus, this level ground we're going to be on, is going all the way back to that verse where it says, those that hear my words and act on them, those who hear my words and do what I say, you are the type of people that will build a foundation on a rock so that when the storms of life come, you can stand. And so we're all going to be on the same playing field. We're all going to be talking about the same thing. We're all going to be practicing and modeling and living out the same things. It just so happens, again, it's 10. Not because we're trying to, you know, God had 10, so we have to have 10. The truth is, this is kind of whatever you, in your own walk with Christ, want it to be. It could be 5, it could be 50 if you're one of those people. But I see 10. And these 10 things that we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks are things that I see in Scripture that not only Christ commands us to do, but it's things he modeled as well. And it's things his disciples modeled. And it's, I believe, these are the things that Christ wants us to teach and show others, other disciples, to do as well as we make disciples. Again, hear me, this is not about works to save your soul. Because we are saved by what? Grace. Through faith. Period. Your salvation is secure in Christ. You're a new creation. But now that you are a new creation, it's time to get to work. And work requires work. This isn't about saving or securing your salvation. Again, that's done in Christ and what he did on the cross. Now it's time to live out. Because I don't know about you, if you were to go out into this valley, this area, and you were to come up and meet someone new, you never met them before in your life, would they know that you are a follower of Jesus without you telling them? Could they smell it on you? Could they see it on you? You don't get that way by just doing nothing. You get that way by obeying Christ and becoming like him. I want to smell like Christ. I want to look like Christ in a world that desperately needs him. So again, this isn't about salvation. This is about becoming like Jesus. And if you want some more evidence from this, James even tells us that one says works, another says faith. I'll show you my works because of my faith. Because faith without works is dead. We don't work for our salvation. We receive that gift of salvation, and then we show that we are saved through what Jesus commanded us to do. So what did Jesus command us to do? Again, these are just 10 things that with some time with other brothers and a little bit of a mentorship from a man named Dwight, we sat down for days talking about what is it that Christ commanded us to do. And we came up with a list of 10. Again, you could have 5, you could have 50. It doesn't matter. But these are 10 things that I see in the scriptures that Christ commanded us to do and to live out, because he lived it out. Now, you don't need to write all these down right now. We're going to talk about these over the next several weeks. But here are 10 things, and I'll just briefly talk about them, that if you're trying to make a disciple, and you say you lead someone to Christ, and they say, what do I do now? And you take them under your arm, and you say, follow me, and I'll show you. These are the 10 things that you can begin showing them right now. These things are simple, but I'll warn you, they're not easy. Because some of these things, as you're already reading it, I don't know, maybe if you've gotten to the word forgive yet, that can be hard for some of us. Because we've all gone through things in our lives. But as a follower of Jesus, Christ commands us to forgive. And so, again, real quick, briefly, first thing up there, surrender. I mean, that's the first step in becoming a follower of Jesus, is it not? Giving your life to Christ, waving the white flag, that song we sang, like, here's where I lay it down. This is my surrender. God, I'm going to make room for you. You are in the captain's chair. You drive the car. That's the first step in becoming a follower of Jesus, is surrendering our life, our will to him. And again, I said this before, following Christ is going to cost you something. My question is, how much are you willing to give up for Christ to allow him to do whatever it is he wants to do in your life? Many of us, myself included, hold on to things. But surrender requires letting go. Talking. What do you think talking means? Is it what I'm doing now? What does talking mean? Communication? Fellowship? Sharing the word? Who said that? Tom, you can't. You know the answers. I use the word talk because, I mean, even in some Christian context, when someone says, Brother Joe, will you pray for us? And it's like, right? We hear that word prayer sometimes, and even as believers, we kind of shrink because we're afraid to talk to God. Isn't that all prayer is talking to God? Now, not all of us, I know not this church. This church is a church of prayer. When Jesus says that my house will be a house of prayer, I know that that's what Mountain Valley Chapel is. But when you're talking with people who don't know Jesus or people who recently come to Jesus, how are you going to encourage someone to pray when they're terrified of praying? Well, encourage them to talk. Encourage them to talk to God, because that's what prayer is. Someone said communion, communicating. It's communicating with the creator of the universe. So if we're supposed to talk to God, what else are we supposed to do? Listen. A lot of us are really good at talking to God. Not so much listen. And we're going to talk about different ways in which we can hear from God. Because there are many ways we can hear from God, yes? And we're going to talk about that. But primarily what we're going to talk about and what you will be talking about as you're making more disciples is we're talking about talking, listening to God through His Word. Through His Word. One of the best things you can do for a new believer when they come put their faith in Christ is put a Bible in their hand and say, let me study Scripture with you. Because again, what the church has done is you become a believer and it's like we give people Bibles, right? Because maybe they don't have one. And then we say, good luck. And they don't know, do I start on page one? I always encourage people to start at the end. But then that freaks them out. So I always kind of point them to John. John's a good book. I love the book of John. But then we just let them, and they don't know what this stuff means. They don't know what redemption is. They don't know what sanctification. They don't know any of these things. They need someone to walk alongside them in God's Word and see it in the Word for themselves. Like even as I'm up here and I'm trying to introduce 10 things that I think and believe that Christ commanded us to do and live out, my encouragement for you is to go home and test me on that. Because that's what the Scriptures say. Test all things. But what do we test it against? The Word of God. And so new believers, even us, people who have been following Christ for a while, we need the Word of God. Every single day, we need to be hearing from God through His Word. Because once we can hear and understand His voice in His Word, then we'll be able to hear and understand His voice in other circumstances. I was so encouraged this morning by Sergio, and he was just encouraging me to listen to God and to hear His voice. I can't hear His voice if I don't know what it sounds like. And that's what we need to show other believers. We need to show them what God's voice sounds like. Remember, now this one kind of threw me for a loop, because I'll be honest, there's a couple words on this list that I was like, well, what about love? What about worship? What about gathering, right? And you got, remember? Can I just say from experience, when we get to remember, we're talking about foundations. Those first three, in my opinion, are foundation. Surrendering to God, talking to God, and listening to God, foundation for the walk of, in your walk with Christ. But next to that, I would say, remember. And when we talk about remembering, we're talking about God's faithfulness. We're talking about God's goodness. Because I don't know about you, there have been so many times in my life where life has just, again, those storms come, right? And I forget God's goodness. I forget God's grace. And my life seems like it's a downward spiral. But when I am living out and practicing and modeling what it means to remember God's faithfulness, that is what gets me through the storm. That is what gets me enough strength to face the day. Because as Lamentations 3:23 says, His mercies are new once a week. Every morning. His mercies are new every morning. So that when I mess up, like I will today, I already have probably, We say this with our boys all the time. Our boys are 4 and 3. And if you've had kids, you know. We get to the end of the day. But boys, I know today was today, but guess what? Tomorrow's a new day. God's mercies are new. Mommy and Daddy's mercies are new. We'll pick it up tomorrow. And it helps them actually go to sleep. Our son broke one of our fans yesterday. He's so bummed about it. That he's going to bed, Mom, I can't believe I broke the fan. It's okay, buddy. It's grace. We bought a new one. It's fine. He woke up today. Did he talk about the fan? He talked about the fan. But we reminded him, it's okay. And I think we need to be reminded of God's goodness, of God's grace in our life. Because one thing I think that Christians fail to do often is preach the gospel to themselves. We need God's grace in our lives, and we need to remember his faithfulness. We need to remember his goodness. Next one, and again, this is not in any particular order, okay, except the first three are foundational. Lay aside. Our walk with Christ is exactly what that is. It's a walk. It's a marathon, right? You've heard that. It's a marathon, not a sprint, right? How many of you have ever hiked or competed in a marathon or just gone some long distance trekking? Anyone? Is it? Oh my goodness. Is it easier to go on a hike carrying a bunch of baggage or just the essentials of what you need? See, the problem is as followers of Christ, we carry around backpacks full of junk, unnecessary junk. And according to the scriptures, we're actually to lay aside, I mean, get rid of every weight and sin. And we focus on the sin part, but we forget the other things that weigh us down, the things that keep us in our pursuing and following Christ on this walk. All of us have baggage. And what Christ is saying is it's time to lay that down. We need to lay that aside. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. So we need to lay aside the things that are keeping us from following Christ or keeping us from growing in our relationship with him. Next thing, give. Now, don't worry, this isn't a give me all your money speech, okay? But we're going to talk about what it means as a follower of Jesus, what it means to give. Yes, it includes finances, but we're not just going to talk about finances. Because when we talk about being a follower of Jesus, being a disciple, and making other disciples, when we talk about give, we mean more than that. Again, I mentioned earlier, when you follow Christ, when you become a believer, it costs you something. You have to give things up. And so we're going to talk about what that means. Proclaim. Here we are talking again. If we're going to make disciples, they need to hear the gospel, yes? Because if there's no mouth, if no one delivers the gospel, if no one presents the gospel, then who's going to hear it? The Bible says that beautiful are the feet of those who carry the good news. I'm not going to show you my feet. It's kind of, they're gross. But my spiritual feet are beautiful. We are to proclaim. And I know for some believers, that's hard to do. It's hard to do because maybe we don't know enough. Maybe we haven't been taught how to share the good news. Again, when we make disciples, there's teaching involved. And we can stand up here all day and I could teach you 50 different ways to share the gospel. But what do you have to do then with that? You have to share it. And so when we get to proclaim, we're going to talk about ways we can share the gospel, and we're going to be challenging each other to actually go do that. Because I want to be someone who has a firm foundation. I don't want to just hear what Jesus says. I want to do it. And we've been given the greatest gift in Christ, yes? What kind of people would we be if we have the cure for everything and we don't share that gift freely? It's a free gift. And yet we hold on to it like it's going out of style or it's going on sale and it's going out of stock. The message of Christ, the gospel, was meant to be shared with everyone. And we must all play our part in that. I already talked about forgive. We're going to talk about how Christ commands us to forgive. Serve. Christ modeled this one perfectly. He said it himself. The Son of God did not come to be served, but to serve. And on the night he was betrayed, he went to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter says, "No, Lord, don't do this." And he said, and this is astounding to me, he says, "If you don't let me do this, you have no part in me." No, we're not going to have a bucket station and wash people's. I don't know, maybe we might. But we're going to talk about, what does it mean to serve? What does it mean to serve as the Lord serve? What does it mean to serve the body here at Mountain Valley Chapel? But more importantly, what does it mean to serve outside these walls? And then lastly, of course, Jesus calls us to make disciples. So if you are a disciple, what are you commanded to do? Make disciples. And we're going to talk about what that means. We're going to talk about what that looks like. Again, as we walk through these things, and as we, again, on the same level, we're all going to be on the same level. Some of you are experts at some of these things. Some of you have never heard of these before in your life. And that's okay. We're starting on solid ground, even ground. And as a church body, as a church family, we are going to work together to come become more like Christ, serve each other, encourage one another, and by the grace of God, help lead others into the family and walk alongside them and show them what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So many people leave the Christian faith after coming to know Christ because they don't know what to do. And they get caught right back into the stuff that they surrendered to Christ and wanted to leave in the first place. But because they hadn't had someone to walk alongside them, to lead them, to guide them, to help grow them in their walk with Christ, they get dropped right back. They go back to what's familiar. I mean, look at the disciples. When Christ died and rose, and then he was kind of here and there, and then they hadn't seen him for a while, what did they do? They went back to what was familiar. God, Christ told them to go. And they went, but they just went fishing again. They went back to what was familiar. And that's what new believers do. They go back to what's familiar when life gets tough. They go back to what's familiar when they don't know what to do. And Christ is saying, I want you to walk alongside people and show them, model for them, live out what it means to be my disciple. This is what we're going to do. This is, again, the foundational step. If we are going to reach people for Christ, we must know what it means to follow Christ, each and every single one of us. And like we said last week, we all have a key part to play. I can only reach X amount. We need all of us to play our parts. It's not up to the pastor to share the gospel. It's not up to the pastor to go make visitations and things, although I will do that. I'm not. But we are all part of one body. Amen. We are all followers of Christ. And we are all to live out the things that he commanded us to live out. Now, you might be asking, because I said this question when I was first studying this, and what about love? Didn't Christ say that people will know you're my disciple by the way you love each other? What about worship? Aren't we to worship God with everything? And that kind of brings in the vision of Mountain Valley Chapel. Our mission is to make disciples, but how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to do it by what our vision says, by loving God and loving people. Jesus was asked in Matthew chapter 22, man walked up to him and said, is an expert in the law, by the way, teacher, which command of the law is the greatest? Do you guys remember this story? And Jesus said to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and some say strength. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like this. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets depend on these two commands. So, if our mission is to make disciples, and if the vision is to accomplish this mission by loving God and loving people, again, it begs the question, how do I love God? When Christ says to do it with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, how do we do that? Like, practically, like, do we, I'm loving you, God. No, right? I want to show you something real quick. As we look at these, again, 10 commands, 10 observances. These first five, surrendering to God, talking to God, listening to God, remembering God's faithfulness, laying aside the things that keep us from following Christ or growing in Christ, what do you think all these things have in common? It's okay, class, you can shout it out. Obedience, humility. Who does it all have in common with? God. If you want to know how I can love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, by living these out, it will help you grow in your relationship with Christ. These first five have everything to do with you and your walk with Christ. You and your walk with Christ. So if these first five have to do with God, what do you think these next five have to do with? People. We show people the love of Christ by the way we give ourselves to other people, by the way we serve other people, by the way we forgive other people. We show our love for people by proclaiming the gospel. And we show our love for people by making disciples and teaching them to do the same. So at Mountain Valley Chapel, if we're going to do the mission of making disciples, and if we're going to do that by loving God and loving people, again, this is, in my opinion, foundational for how we're going to do this. And again, these things that Christ commands us to do, they are simple. They're not easy, but they're simple. And if we work together and encourage each other, I am convinced that not only is your relationship with Christ going to grow, but we're going to see lives changed for Christ. It's not going to be because of anything you've done. It's going to be because of what Christ has done for us and what he's doing in and through us. As we show this valley the love of God, as we show this valley our love for people, and as we go and make disciples. Simple, but not easy. It's a journey. It's an adventure. And it's one that I am so grateful and thankful to God that I can be a part of with each and every single one of you. All of us have a key part to play. It's going to take all of us submitting to God, surrendering our lives to him, doing what he commanded us to do. Because there's a world out there that needs Jesus. And I talked about this last week. Sometimes I can get caught up with the fact that the world is so anti-God that it makes me want to go over here and stay in my own bubble and away from all of that. But we were not commanded to stay out of the world. We were to be in the world, but not of it. And how do we be not of it? We'd be like Christ. We'd be like Christ. And how do we be like Christ? Well, we do what he told us to do. We do what he modeled himself Again, these things, they're simple, not easy. It's going to stretch you. Waking up every day and saying, God, my life is yours. And then 10 minutes later, when you get to your job and something happens and you immediately take back that thing you've surrendered to God. But again, we must remember that God's mercies are new every day. And when we mess up, we just say, God, again, my life is yours. Use me. Okay. I'm going to ask Freddie and the worship team to come back up. Just have them kind of close our time out. Because, again, one of the words that I thought would be on this list as I was studying this and learning about this, and one of those was worship. And when I look at these commands, these words that Christ calls us to live out, we love God, we love people, and love is encompassed in all of this. But as we live out these commands, it's not just for love. As we live out these commands for our love for God and our love for people, that is worship. Because Romans 12 tells us that we are to, what? Present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is our true worship. In other words, the things that you do in your life as you surrender to God and allow God to transform your life and be used as His instrument, everything you do as you share the gospel, as you forgive people, as you give to people, as you serve people, as you remember my faithfulness, that is worship. That is worship. Now again, these are just 10. If there's other ones you want to add, great. But we're going to start with 10. And we're going to build on that foundation. I said this last week, my vision is to see Mountain Valley Chapel as a training ground to equip the saints, which is each and every single one of you, to do the work of the ministry. This will be a place for fellowship and encouragement, of prayer. Oh, do we need prayer? We can't do anything apart from Jesus, so we need prayer. But the real work that's going to take place is not going to happen inside of these four walls. It's going to take place out there. The fruit will be out there. Christ said that people will know you are my disciple by the way you love them, but he also said you will know that you are my disciple by your fruit. Mountain Valley Chapel is a fruitful church. And I thank God and I thank Ryan and Danelle and Pastor Dale for the work that they have done that have established the solid ground that we are on currently. But it's time to build on it. Let's pray. Father God, I am so grateful and thankful, Lord, for your son, Jesus. God, that you loved the world so much that you sent your son to die for the world, the sacrifice that the world needed to be made right with you and have relationship with you. Father God, please let the amazing people of this church know and hear my heart. We receive the gift that you've given us through faith. But God, you also call us to go. Like any relationship, Lord, it is never stagnant. We're either drifting away or we're coming closer together in unity and in oneness. When I think about our relationship with you, as you call us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, Father, I pray, Father, that we can grow in oneness with you. We're never stagnant. We're either drifting away or growing closer. And so, Lord, as we talk about and learn and practice and model the things that we see you do in your life and in Scripture, may it grow us in you. And God, you call us to love people. And God, more and more in the direction that this world is going, it's getting harder and harder to love people. God, help me, help us to be a people that will love people the way you love them, the way you see them. Help us to lead others to you. Help us to show your love and teach and show others how to love you and to love others. Father God, thank you for this church. Thank you for this body. As we move forward into this new season, help us to hear your voice and your leading and what you want for this church. And for our own lives, Father God, help us to be those ambassadors, Lord, the light of the world in a foreign land that doesn't know you. We need you, God. It's going to take all of us, but more importantly, it's going to take you in us. So, Lord, would you go with us today? Help us to be the light of the world. Help us to show this world our love for you and our love for them. We thank you for it, Lord. And as we close our service today, Father God, as we sing praises to your name, Father God, again, may it be glorifying in your sight. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.